Chapter 16. Throughout the trial, Dorothy Kilgallen awoke with her brain buzzing about what she had heard in the Ruby courtroom. Each evening, she collected her notes, organized them, and after dinner and a vodka and tonic or two, attempted to digest the importance of the testimony from eyewitnesses to history. If she was looking for a bombshell moment that would escalate her belief that Ruby had been ordered to kill Oswald, it came out of the blue from, of all people, a parking lot general manager. Transcript from the original court record. Prosecution witness Garnet Claude, or G.C. Hallmark, general manager, All Right Auto Parking, Dallas. Directing your attention to the 23rd day, Saturday, after the assassination of President Kennedy, at around 2:50 p.m., did you see the defendant, Jack Ruby, on that occasion? Yes, sir, I did. What parking lot was that? What was it called? The Nichols Brothers Parking, 1320 Commerce Street. Is it a fact, Mr. Hallmark, that Ruby has parked his car there for a number of years at that place, is that right?
3 years, yes.
And his place of business is close by, is that right?
Yes, sir, it is.
Now, when he came into your garage, did he ask permission to use the phone?
Yes, sir, he did.
The 23rd, Saturday afternoon around 2:50 p.m., what did he say with reference to being a reporter, if anything?
He said that he was making like a reporter.
Making like a reporter?
Yes.
At that time, was he looking for a number to call in the telephone book, or did he already know the number? Do you recall?
He knew the number, I am sure.
Well, did he dial a number?
Yes, he did.
Do you know who he asked for on the phone?
Not on the first call. The conversation was about the, what I understand to be the almost immediate transfer of Oswald from the city to the county jail. Mr. Ruby informed whoever he was talking to that people were strewing flowers at the scene of the assassination, and that possibly the transfer would be delayed.
The what?
Delayed.
Now, did Ruby say anything with reference to whether or not, concerning whether he would be there or not? What did he say on that?
He told whoever he was talking to that he would be there.
He would be there?
Yes. He walked east on Commerce and was gone about 2 minutes, and then returned and stood immediately in front of my office, and then got in his car and drove out.
How do you determine the time on this? Approximately, this was about 2:50 on the 23rd of November, 1963. Is that right?
We started about 2:50.
When Kilgallen later checked her notes regarding testimony on this day, it is logical to assume that she circled Mr. Hallmark's testimony as arguably being the most significant at trial regarding Jack Ruby's culpability for assassinating Lee Harvey Oswald. First, the testimony that Ruby was making like a reporter confirmed what Kilgallen had to have suspected, that Ruby's ruse to make it look like he was a reporter and gain access whenever and wherever he chose was indeed a reality. Whether he thought of the ruse himself, or whether others in concert with his plan to assassinate Oswald suggested it, is unknown. But the strategy was well conceived and successful across the board, until Kilgallen realized the evil intent behind Ruby's actions. Second, Ruby's contention that he just happened by the jail entrance on the morning of the 24th was destroyed. From Mr. Hallmark's testimony, Kilgallen now knew that not only had Ruby visited the jail entrance on the 23rd, but that he also was monitoring the Oswald transfer with whomever he spoke to on the parking lot phone. And Kilgallen knew Ruby telling the caller he would be there, meaning he actually had apparently said, "I will be there," confirmed that Ruby had already made plans to be at the jail basement entrance the next day, when Oswald's transfer would take place. This swept away, the famous reporter knew, any semblance of truth regarding Ruby's story that he went to the Western Union office, left, and just happened to walk by the jail entrance at the exact time Oswald was being transferred. Ruby's use of these four explosive words, "I will be there," from his lips as recalled by a credible primary source witness, must not be underestimated. Kilgallen had to have recognized their importance. But sadly, other reporters did not. History was truly distorted, based on no one but Kilgallen paying close attention to the Ruby trial testimony. Unfortunately, she could never include Ruby's admission in her Random House book, since she died before it could be published. Questions as to whether the jurors who were deciding Ruby's fate also missed the critical nature of Hallmark's testimony arises, since, in the aforementioned diary kept by Wayman Rose, 51 pages in length, he never mentions Hallmark's account of Ruby's phone call. Instead, Rose focuses on the confusing nature of the psychological testimony presented about Ruby's mental state. In his book, The Jack Ruby Trial Revisited, jury foreman Max Causey does not include any of Hallmark's testimony about Ruby having stated he would be at the Oswald transfer. In fact, he only mentions Hallmark's critical testimony on one page, page 62, out of 202 pages, recalling that Hallmark said Ruby was a preoccupied and intense person, and that Hallmark sometimes wondered about Jack's sanity. J. Edgar Hoover's Oswald Alone proclamation to the world not only brainwashed the public and every journalist and author at the time, and for decades to follow, except for Kilgallen, into mistakenly focusing on Oswald, but also infected the very jury deciding Ruby's guilt or innocence. Ignoring Hallmark's testimony about Ruby's statement, according to at least two of the jurors' accounts, points to this conclusion, meaning that Ruby was denied justice, his right to a fair trial. Prosecution witness J.R. Lavelle, detective, Dallas Police Department. When Detective J.R. Lavelle testified, Kilgallen paid close attention to the details regarding the actual shooting of Oswald by Ruby. With great detail, the detective summarized how Ruby had stepped forward, gun in hand, and shot JFK's alleged assassin. While the testimony was mesmerizing at times, it would not have piqued the skilled reporter's interest, since she was now more interested in Ruby's activities as portrayed by the witnesses who had already testified. This said, she would have found one piece of evidence compelling, that relating to what the detective swore Ruby said shortly after shooting Oswald. The actual court transcript states, "Now, what are the facts as to whether or not at the time you were examining his wound there on the floor, Jack Ruby had been brought into the jail office?"
"Yes, sir. As I straightened up to put my handcuffs on my belt, I observed him standing by the elevator in the custody of the officers, waiting to go up to the jail."
"What, if anything, did Jack Ruby say that you heard?"
"At that particular time there, he said, 'I hope the son of a bitch dies.'"
Ruby's caustic comment, "I hope the son of a bitch dies," could have been interpreted several ways. But Kilgallen, in all likelihood, believed Oswald's killer hoped his intended prey would die so that his job would be complete. One may recall Detective Don Ray Archer's later account of his belief that Ruby was relieved. "I would say his life had depended on his getting Oswald," when he knew Oswald was dead. Archer did not provide that account at the Ruby trial, perhaps because he was not asked the right question. But Archer's later statement made sense, since if Ruby had only wounded Oswald, it could have triggered repercussions from those who had ordered Ruby to kill Oswald. Transcript from the court record. Prosecution witness Elsie Graves, Dallas Police Department.
"All right, what was he trying to do with the gun as you..." "We'll move over here.
You grabbed a hold of it. I started down. He kept pulling back and squeezing on the trigger."
"Squeezing on the trigger and pulling back?"
"Yes, sir."
"Wrench it from my hand like you did."
"Like so," demonstrating.
"Now, was that a minute or a second or seconds? in that taking the gun, how long would you say it took you to get the gun away from him?
A very short period of time. Very short period of time.
Now, as you pulled it down, was he trying to push it back toward Oswald?
That's right.
And he was squeezing on the trigger?
Little doubt likely existed in Kilgallen's mind regarding the shooting of Oswald by Ruby. This testimony, however, may have interested her regarding Oswald's apparent intention to continue shooting JFK's alleged assassin more than once.
Transcript from the court record. Prosecution witness, Detective Don Ray Archer, Dallas Police Department.
Question by Mr. Belli.
All right, did you hear people yelling there, "Oswald is shot, Oswald is shot, Oswald is shot"?
I did not hear that statement, no sir.
Did you hear Ruby down on the deck say, "I am Jack Ruby"?
I heard him say, "You all know me, I'm Jack Ruby."
And that was when he was lying down on the deck?
It was. As we got him down on the floor there, he said, "I hope I killed the son of a bitch."
He said, "I hope I killed the son of a bitch."
Yes, sir.
And that is a matter of 12 seconds after the shooting, probably?
Yes, sir.
Now, after you took him out, that goes up to the fifth floor, as you went into the jail office upstairs, what?
I said, "I think you killed him." He said, "I intended to shoot him 3 times.
He said, "I intended to shoot him 3 times?
Yes, sir.
Now, that's the defendant, Jack Ruby, that said that?
Yes, sir, he did.
That was a matter of minutes after the original shooting?
Yes, sir, it was.
Kilgallen would have been interested in Detective Archer's testimony regarding his hearing Ruby state, "You all know me, I'm Jack Ruby. I hope I killed the son of a bitch, and I intended to shoot him 3 times. While the former 2 statements ring true, the latter, perhaps, seemed out of line to her, that Ruby would say he wanted to shoot Oswald 3 times. Why 3? She might have wondered. Why 3?
Transcript from the court record. Prosecution witness T.D. McMillan, Dallas Police Department.
Prior to the shooting, did you hear him say anything?
Yes, sir, I did.
Tell the jury what you heard the defendant, Jack Ruby, say at that time, Mr. McMillan.
He said, "You rat, you son of a bitch, you shot the president," and then a shot rang out.
Was that all right the second before the shot went off, or about the same time as the shot went off?
Yes, sir.
Kilgallen may have been puzzled by so many different versions of what Ruby allegedly said after he shot Oswald.
It appeared to be overkill, especially quotes such as, "You rat son of a bitch," which sounded like bad movie dialogue.
It likely made her wonder who was really telling the truth or exaggerating what they had heard.
Transcript from the original court record. By Mr. Belli.
At some time later in the day, Ruby told you, when you had told him that he had shot Mr. Oswald, "You all won't believe this, but I didn't have this planned. I couldn't have planned it so perfect." He said he had just got there, and Oswald happened to be coming out, and it was a coincidence. Did he say that?
I believe that's not my statement, sir.
All right. And he ducked his head and kept going. Is that correct?
Mr. Ruby told me he just ducked his head and kept going.
And he said he knew he could always act like a reporter.
Yes, sir.
All right. Then he said, "Y'all, Y-A-L-L, y'all won't believe this, but I didn't have this planned." Is that right?
Yes, sir.
"I couldn't have planned it so perfect." Right?
Right.
And by that, he meant that he was over at Western Union at 11:17, and the shooting happened about 11:21? At the very latest, wasn't it?
I'm not sure at all of the time on that.
All right. He said he just got there, and Oswald happened to be coming out at the time. Isn't that correct?
Yes, sir.
This cross-examination of McMillan by Marvin Belli confirmed again Ruby's plan to act like a reporter,
so as to gain entry to the jail entrance.
Though Ruby states, "Y'all won't believe this, but I didn't have this planned," the admission that he could just act like a reporter rings true,
based on his behavior during the days leading up to his assassination of Oswald. Kilgallen very likely followed up on this testimony, perhaps with Belli, since the act-like-a-reporter statement, if believed by the jury, was one more hole in his story about just accidentally being at the jail entrance when Oswald was being transferred.
Transcript from the court record. "And did you go over to where Oswald was, or Ruby was?"
"I ran immediately to the scene of the confusion, and there were some 5 or 6 detectives that were subduing this person. I didn't know at the time, I couldn't see him."
"Did you hear anybody say anything?"
"There were conversation, I mean, some talk, but I didn't hear any. I mean, I did hear when they had him on the floor. In fact, I myself asked who in the world was it. And Jack was on the floor, and that's when I first recognized him. And he said, 'You all know me, I'm Jack Ruby.'"
"On the floor, he said, 'You all know me, I'm Jack Ruby?'"
"Yes, sir."
This confirming testimony that Ruby had said, "You all know me, I'm Jack Ruby," positively proves Ruby is being in good with the Dallas Police Department officers, as noted in the FBI memorandum. Little doubt exists that Kilgallen would have surmised Ruby was the perfect fit to kill Oswald, since he could gain access to areas others couldn't due to his friendship with the police. Those who recruited him to kill Oswald had to have known of his being well known to police, Kilgallen must have surmised. All part of the plan to eliminate Oswald.
Transcript from the original court record. Defense witness Roy Pryor, printer, Dallas Morning News.
"What was the nature of your conversation with Jack at that time?" "Jack had secured a board. It was approximately 1 foot square, called a twist board. Or that's the name he gave me. And he was wanting to know if I had any ideas on exploiting the sale of it."
"He was trying to promote the twist board?"
"Yes, sir."
"Is this what he talked to you about?"
"Yes, sir."
"Now, when was the next time you had occasion to see Jack Ruby?"
"During the month of November 1963.
On the Saturday morning preceding the Friday that..." Here there is a break in the manuscript. "Now, in reference again to this conversation that Jack told you that he had heard Mr. Wade..."
"State the facts as to whether or not Jack told you that Mr. Wade stated on the phone that in Lee Harvey Oswald, they had the right man."
"Mr. Wade, we object to that, Your Honor. It has nothing to do with it." The court: "Sustain the objection."
Pryor's account permits the opportunity to indicate one instance, perhaps above all the others, where a Kilgallen column exactly mirrored testimony at the Ruby trial. On August 19, 1964, well after the Ruby trial, she wrote a Journal American column including the following words: "I find it hard to reconcile the picture of Jack Ruby performing on a twist board less than 24 hours after the president's assassination with the bereaved figure of a man who says he walked around in a state of emotional shock." No doubt Kilgallen's mentioning the twist board incident came from Pryor's testimony. That her column echoed the testimony accurately in what she wrote not only points to her accuracy as a truth-seeking reporter, but is a sure tribute to her integrity. In addition to the evidence presented by eyewitnesses, considerable medical testimony consumed several days of trial. Much of it was quite highbrow, with sophisticated medical terms flying through the courtroom. The out-of-control egos of both the defense and prosecution teams regarding the defense notion that Ruby suffered from psychomotor epilepsy insanity and thus should be spared legal responsibility for the cold-blooded assassination of Oswald projected confusing evidence boggling the jurors' minds. Experts brought to court by both sides appeared to cancel each other out, as Kilgallen in all likelihood would have realized. But there were witnesses toward the end of the trial who must have swayed the jurors to decide Ruby's actions could not be excused due to any sort of insanity. It is predictable to believe Kilgallen took extensive notes when these witnesses expressed their professional opinions.
Transcript from the original court record. Prosecution witness, Dr. Chef Olinger, neurologist.
Now, I will ask you if an electroencephalogram was run on Jack Ruby there on the 28th.
Yes, sir.
Taking all of those reports into consideration,
plus the laboratory process, plus the EEG, taking all those things into consideration, would you make a diagnosis of either psychomotor epilepsy or psychomotor variant in Jack Ruby?
I would not.
Court transcript of a new prosecution witness, Dr. Robert Stubblefield, Dallas physician and psychiatrist, appointed by court.
Can you form an opinion as to whether or not Jack Ruby, on November 24, 1963, was of sound mind, knowing the difference between right and wrong, and the consequence of his act at that time?
By Mr. Bowie.
Were you able to form an opinion, sir, on that basis?
If I assume the facts as you state them, in my opinion, he would know the difference between right and wrong, and would know the nature and quality of his act.
Defense counsel attempted to combat this explosive testimony with rigorous cross-examination, but if one witness made the difference, other than Dr. Frederick Gibbs, a noted Chicago neurologist whose testimony backfired on the defense when he said, "I have no opinion," about whether Ruby knew right from wrong, it was arguably Dr. Stubblefield. He was a local resident whom the jurors felt they could trust. From that point on, it is safe to say the jury was going to convict Ruby of murder in the first degree. He just didn't know it yet.
Surveying the enormous amount of testimony Kilgallen digested during the long trial provides the foundation for all of her columns and articles, as well as the basis for the investigation she conducted after the trial.
Sitting in the front row, the reporter who knew as much about the law as most lawyers added note after note to her investigation file. When the trial was over and Ruby had been sentenced to the electric chair to die, she ramped up her efforts to discover the truth about who had killed her friend JFK and why. That Kilgallen paid close attention to the testimony is confirmed. Why? Because she wrote about what might have appeared as a small matter to the other reporters covering the trial, but to her was an item that simply did not make sense. The fact that it involved a twist board may seem ridiculous to some, but Kilgallen, as sharp as any trial lawyer who ever lived, knew if Ruby lied about his shaky emotional state triggering his murder of Oswald, he had lied about much more.